God bless you. You can sit down. It's good to see you today. Good morning. I'm glad you're here. And if you're a guest today, thanks for coming and thanks for being a part of what God's doing here at Covenant Church today. We're so excited to have you here and trust you've been blessed as we have already worshiped together and spent time with God together. Today, the theme of today is love one another. If you looked in your Bibles at the passage for today, it talks about loving one another. So we're going to talk about that. And last night I was reading, just kind of perusing my way through Facebook a little bit, and I read this one post that said, in a few years, 1990 will be 30 years ago. And I went, what? How can that be? There's no way. I thought about, wait a minute, 30 years ago is like the 60s, isn't it? I mean, come on, really? That's crazy. But then, you know, I was thinking about this whole theme of loving one another, and I thought, you know, it would be fun for us here at Covenant this morning to do Covenant Jeopardy, with the theme being love songs from back in the day. Okay, so now this you don't have to raise your hand or anything. If you know the answer, you just shout it out. You don't even have to ask it in the form of a question. I know that they want you to ask it, but no, you just tell me the answer, okay? So we'll see what happens, but the theme is all about love songs from back in the day. And we're not talking about back in the day. I'm talking about 60s, 70s, and 80s. So that's way back in the day for some of you, but it's the oldies, right? So, okay, so 1967. This group sang the Beatles. Very, very good. All right. In 1965, take you back a couple more years, this song was first made popular by what singer? Oh man, I hear all kinds of answers. Listen, I had no idea. Okay, but I did hear Burt Bacharach. Now Burt Bacharach actually made it more popular. The very first person to ever record this song was Jackie DeShannon in 1965. Okay, so here we go. Number three, 1967. This group was famous for saying this in a song. What? Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. All right, very good. All right, so here we go to the 70s. All right, the 70s. 1970. This group recorded their most popular single ever. Jackson 5. The Jackson 5. Exactly. Okay. 1975. This pair said... Well, who said that? Man, that was like right off the bat. I mean, I didn't... Wow! Okay, very good. 1977. This group wanted to know... The Bee Gees. Very good. Wow. Man, you guys are really good at this. This is good stuff. All right. 1984. This group said... Man, you guys are way too good. All right. Foreigner. This dynamic duo in 1981 recorded this song and became one of the most popular love songs of the 80s decade. What'd you say? Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. There you go. All right. And this guy, 1984. Stevie Wonder. Very good. Man, you guys are too good at this. All right. So, you know, we get all these singers talking, but really, what is love? All right. What is love? Is it, as the Beatles said, is it all we need? And you know, it wasn't just songwriters back in the day that had a penchant for talking about love and what it looked like and what it meant or what it was. Dr. Martin Luther King said this: hatred paralyzes life. Love releases it. Hatred confuses life. Love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life. Love illumines it. Someone said, love is life. If you miss love, you've missed life. One said, a theologian said, love feels no burden, thinks nothing of trouble, and attempts what is above its strength. Someone else said, love is the only thing you get more of when you give it away. Mother Teresa said, I found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, then it's not hurt, but only more love. And then David Wilkerson said, love is not something you feel, it's something you do. Scriptures talk about love, a lot about love. I mean, from the very first of the scriptures. And in fact, Jesus talked about love. Matthew 22 said to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. And secondly, he said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. In Galatians chapter 5, love is called one of the fruit of the Spirit. Almost every New Testament writer alludes to love as being part of the fabric of who we are as Christ followers. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, talked about love and really defined it, didn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a verse of scripture that is used in almost every wedding I've ever been to or ever participated in. Listen to this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of when it's been wronged. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. When John wrote the words to in 1 John, when he wrote these letters to these churches, he wrote about love. And he wrote about love in a way that talked about what it meant to love each other. What it meant to love within the body of Christ. Now in the scriptures, just to remind you, there are three ways that love is talked about, that word love is used. One is in a sexual sense. One is in a friendship sense. And one is in an unconditional way. And when John uses the word love in 1 John, he is using it in the unconditional way. It's that third sense of loving each other unconditionally. And here in this passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 3, he's really talking about what it means to love each other within the body of Christ. Oh, and he's not just talking about Covenant Church. He's talking about the body of Christ. What does that look like? What does it mean? How do we love each other? And see, here's the thing. Grab your bulletin, or turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, because here's the thing I want us to understand about this passage of scripture for today. There's a lot of times, and we're gonna get to this even later in chapter 4, again, where John is talking about loving each other. But today, really what he's talking about is, he is saying, this love that I'm talking about, loving one another, is really the litmus test for the church. This is the litmus test for you and me, for us as Christ followers within the body. This is for the church, not just Covenant, not just Methodists, not just Baptists, not just Presbyterians, not just Church of Christ, not just Pentecostals. This is for the church universal. Do we know how to love one another unconditionally? This is it. So this is the test of all tests for you and for me as people within the church. This is the one thing more than anything else that people who live outside of the church circle look at and try to decipher about the body of Christ. Do we really love each other? And church, listen, it's imperative that we get this right. It is imperative that we can't back down on this. We need to get this loving one another thing right. It seems pretty simple. I mean, you hear those three little words, love one another. That seems really easy. Seems like it shouldn't be too hard for us to be able to figure out what that means. But you see, we model that. We, inside the walls of the church, model love, unconditional love, to the world that's outside of these walls, that so desperately longs to have it. That's we're the model. We're what people look at. We're what people see. So it's imperative that we get this thing right. And you know, I get it. I mean, for the most part, we totally understand what it means to go outside of these walls and love on people. I mean, we do. I mean, we take mission trips and we just go love on people we don't know. We buy a mobile home in a mobile home park. We don't know those people. We know what it means to love on them. We know what it means to care about them. We know what it means to get in there and live life with them. We get it. We understand that. We know for the most part what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 25. When he talked about loving the least and the last and the lost. And that when we really learned how to love those kind of persons, we were really learning how to love him. We understand that for the most part. We understand that parable in Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told. We understand what it means to love and care for people who have been kind of discarded by society and pushed off to the side of the road and left for dead. We get it. We understand that. We see over and over in the New Testament that Jesus cared about people. Jesus, the down and outers, the people who weren't necessarily part of his band of disciples. I mean, how often would he just stop randomly along the road and heal somebody of their blindness or of their, that they couldn't walk? How often would he care about people and love people just because and model for his disciples what it meant to reach out and love to other people? We kind of get it, right? John's digging way deeper than that. John is blasting past all that stuff. And he's digging into the very core of who we are as Christ followers. He's talking about you and me. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to an outside group. He's not writing saying, oh, go out and meet the needs of everybody. John's not talking about that here. John is saying, love one another. Love each other within the body. And that's important. And we need to do it. It needs to be part of who we are. And now, you know, I read that, and I can't help but wonder, and thought about as I was reading this week, I wonder if there's something going on behind the scenes in the churches that John wrote to. You remember, John didn't write to just one church. He wrote to a bunch of little faith communities, and I wonder if there was something going on. I wonder if there was, I don't know, I wonder if there was, in the daily struggles of living life, I wonder if they, the churches that he wrote to, had forgotten what it means to love each other. Just because they weren't First Church of, I don't know, Caesarea. You know, did they forget? I don't know, but I wondered that as I, was there some kind of jealousy going on between the churches? Was there some kind of, you know, church envy going on? Was there something happening? Why would John write these words? To love each other. Why would he remind these people this? Grab your bulletins and let's look at that passage. I want to start at verse 11. And I'm going to stop quite often as we, this first part really, the first part of this passage is really, again, talking about the litmus test for the church. This is about loving each other. This is the core value for who we are as a church. Loving one another. And he says, look, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. You see, this was not some new idea that John was bringing forth to these churches. This was an idea, this was a truth that these churches had known since the very first day. Since the very first day that the grace and love of Jesus crashed into them and they responded to Him, they responded to His love. This idea of loving and caring for each other was a very real part of their lives. And so John says, look, this isn't new. This isn't new rocket science. This is how we are to live life within the body of Christ. This is how we are to care for each other. Love one another. Love each other. This is the very fabric of who these people were to be as Christ followers. And look, it's for you and me as well. This is the very fabric of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ, that we love each other within the church. This isn't something new. I mean, Jesus said it in John 13. These words out of Jesus' mouth. Listen to this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, that what that means is, Jesus says, look, that means unconditionally. That means we don't attach strings to our love for each other. I'm going to love you if you do it this way. I'm going to love you if you don't ever make a mistake. I'm going to love you if your name above your door in your church says Baptists or Christian Church or Pentecostal Church. I'm going to love you if. It doesn't say that. I'm going to love you unconditionally. Jesus said, that's how I loved you. So that's how you're to love each other. Right here within our walls and into the wall, into the church universal. To love each other. Love one another. And then he goes on in verse 12. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. And you gotta look at that and think to myself, I thought to myself, well, at some point, Cain had to have it right. At some point in that relationship between Cain and Abel, they loved each other. They cared about each other. Something happened. What was it? A little bit of jealousy? A little bit of envy? And suddenly sin crept in, and suddenly before he knew it, he had killed his own brother. Now, what does that say to you and me as a church? That sometimes we can look around and say, oh man, they've got it way better than me. Or that church has got it way better than me. Or that church is doing something really cool and they're having all these successes, and sometimes we allow a bit of jealousy or church envy or something, I don't know, to happen. Instead, we ought to be celebrating their successes, because this isn't about being Covenant Methodist Church. This isn't about being LaGrange Baptist Church. This is about being the kingdom of God and reaching people for the kingdom of God. Love one another. Verse 13. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Duh. I mean, really? Listen. The world hated Jesus. Why do we think, as His disciples, as His followers, that we should get a pass? The world longs to have what we have. The world longs to have the peace and the joy, the love that we have. And it kills them that they can't. They just fail to, they could. It's just simply just a surrender away. Don't be surprised. They're longing for what we have, and they can't figure out how to get it. Because they're trying, listen, the world is trying to fill up their lives with everything except Jesus. They don't get it. So don't be surprised when the world hates us. Verse 14. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. You see, there's that litmus test. This is the test for you and me. And when we truly love each other, it proves that we have passed from death to life. That we truly understand what it means to live life in Jesus Christ, with Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. I'm convinced, church. The Beatles were right. All you need is love. All you need is love. But now, here's the second thing. Now, the rest of this passage, he goes on to talk about what this love looks like. And he says in the rest of this passage that love is a verb. Love is an action statement. Love isn't static. Love isn't just something that we say. It's way more than just cheap talk. It's doing something. It's taking action in our lives. Let's go back and let me finish this passage. Beginning at verse 16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave His life for us. We know what love is. It was an action, right? Jesus did what? He went to a cross. He gave His life. He shed His blood. He was dead. He was buried. Third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. He did something about it. It wasn't just cheap talk. Jesus didn't just talk about loving people. He did it. He gave all that He could for you and me. It's an action. 17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Love is a verb. It's an action word. You know, I'm just going to guess that you've You've probably heard that saying from time to time, talk is cheap. You know, you've probably been around people who talk a good talk, right? But they forget the second part of that. They forget about walking the real walk. They talk about what it means to be a Christian. They talk about how they're going to be helpful. They talk about what they're going to do, what they're going to be about, where they're going to go, what they're going to say. But life doesn't live up to what they say. And it's not very long till those people kind of get pushed off to the side and disrespected. We lose trust in them, right? So the flip side of the coin is that actions, what? Actions speak louder than words. That's the flip side of it. Talk is cheap, but actions speak louder than words. And so John in this passage is saying to the church, look, it's what you do. It's how you act that your love really shines through. That you really care. That you really have compassion. Jesus is our model. Love involves noticing other people and the needs that they have and then reaching out and caring for them and sharing life with them in a very real, down-to-earth, right there with them. I get it. I see the pain. I see the heartache. I see the hurt. And I want to get in there and live life with you. And we've got some folks in our church doing that very thing with people that are struggling with life issues right now. Thanks be to God. But that's what love is. Love is more than just saying it. Love is doing it. Love is an action. Warren Wiersbe, he's an author and pastor. He said this: self-preservation is the first law of physical life. Isn't that true? Everything we think about physically is about self-preservation. Listen to this. He says, but self-sacrifice is the first law of our spiritual life. You see, that's what Jesus modeled for us, isn't it? Sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. Love is an action. Sacrifice and service. You know, church, I really am convinced that all we need is love. Just like John talks about here. Love that is an action. Sometimes it's as simple as a phone call. I mean, think about today, this week. Who could you call? Just because you care. Just because you love them. Maybe you've missed them. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's just sitting down and having a genuine conversation with somebody. Sometimes it's as simple as a card in the mail. Sometimes it's as simple as an email. Sometimes it's as simple as a text message. Sometimes it's as simple as taking somebody to lunch. Sometimes it's just including someone in our circle of relationships. All we need is love. Love for one another, that spills out, that the world gets to see, that we model for people who live around us. The love of Jesus that's inside of us, unconditional, caring for each other and sharing life with each other. What's that going to look like in our life this week? Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, that you give us the opportunity and the privilege to really love you And when we love you, we get to love each other. And maybe this week we can just think of one or two or three or, I don't know, four people that just need to be loved. People within the body of Christ. Help us to be sensitive to that and really love them. In Jesus' name, amen.